You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. Giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow.
There's mom. If I could have your attention, we're going to observe the ordinance of baptism. This is Cameron Lawson. Cameron, have you given your heart and life to Jesus?
Yes.
Yes. Are you going to live for him the rest of your life? Yes. He's shaking his head, yes. How many of you will make a commitment to pray for Cameron? Would you raise your hand and say amen? Amen.
Okay, Cameron. I don't know what you have like
that. Cameron, my brother, upon your profession of faith and in obedience to the Lord's command, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried in the likeness of his death, and raised to walk in a spirit-filled life. Here he is. I think he said, go get him, Dom. This is Dominic. Dominic, have you given your heart and life to Christ?
Yeah.
Are you going to live for him the rest of your life?
Good.
How many of you will make a commitment to pray for Dominic? Would you raise your hand and say amen? Amen. Dominic, my brother, upon your profession of faith and in obedience to the Lord's command, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bearing the likeness of his death, raised to walk in a spirit-filled life. Praise God. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today. Thank you for these boys. Ask you to anoint them, bless them, fill them with your spirit and live through them. And Lord, thank you for your presence here today. We just ask you to pour your spirit out upon us. We love you. Thank you for your plans you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to sing another song like that. Is anybody tired this morning? Some people said yes. Could you shake the person next to you and say, hey, you got to practice. We're going to do this for eternity. We're going to praise God for eternity. So come on, let's practice. Ready? Here we go.
How many of y'all would like to meet Cameron and Dominic right after the service? Would you say amen? Amen. Well, they'll be right down front, and you can come by and pray for them, give them a hug, tell them how proud you are of them, okay? So got several announcements. First of all, we've got our 100th anniversary coming up next week. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. And we're going to have Tommy Green. He was the past executive director of the Florida Baptist Convention for 10 years. He'll be our guest speaker. We've got Andrew Struhar coming back and some others. And we're going to have a parade of history where we have some folks representing the different decades along the way, and they're going to be sharing with us some historical facts relating to the church
And then we'll have a, we have some caterers that are cooking and plating a lunch for us immediately following over in the fellowship hall. So I want to encourage you to take part in that as well. So we've got that coming up. And then on the 13th, we're raising the tent. That'll be in the sale next week also at 4 o'clock for our harvest festival, our fall festival. And that'll be on the 15th in a couple of weeks from 11 to 2. And then also a week from next Sunday, we'll have a concert with Shannon Smith. We love Shannon, and he'll bless our hearts as we worship together with him. There'll be no work days on the property on the 14th or 15th due to our celebrations. And so we'll actually be working on the 10th there as well. And then Berry Fresh tomorrow, men's prayer breakfast, 8 o'clock in the morning. Want to invite you to come and take part in that. And immediately following the service, there'll be a short practice for all of our historical actors that are going to be in the parade. That'll be real quick. And then they'll be immediately following over at Shepherd's Park. There's a picnic. Bring your own food if you didn't plan for that. Run through a fast food and grab something, and they'll be fishing over there. And, you know, if you like sushi, you can just eat some of the fish they catch. But so that'll be going on for our families, and want to encourage you to take part in that. And then also, no life groups next Sunday or breakfast due to our anniversary and the setting up of the fellowship hall and decorations for that. And then let's see what else. Movie tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock at Epic. There's the movie Oracles of God. It's relating to the foundation and the development of the New Testament at the movie theater over there. We've had about a dozen or so of you sign up for that. We recommend you get there around 3:30 to get tickets and for everybody to try to sit together or close. Epic is the movie theater here in Stuart. And then right after that, anyone that would like to, we're going to 2J's to have dinner and just down the way from the movie theater. So I want to encourage you to take part in that Christian movie and support that as well. And then tomorrow night also, there's a fundraiser for the 8th grade class for our school at Culver's. And so I want to encourage you to go by, if you're not doing 2J's with us in the movie, to go by Culver's and pick up your dinner there. And we get a portion of all the proceeds from that as well. So excited about the things coming up and how God's going to bless us, and love you and appreciate you. Thanks.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's with a thankful, grateful heart that we bow before your throne. Heavenly Father, in the deep silence of our hearts, may we hear your word, Lord, your soft word just in our hearts, Lord, for we know the mouth speaks that which fills the heart. May we speak your peace, your love, your joy, and your goodness to all you put in our path. Heavenly Father, be with Dr. Orman as he brings a message. We thank you for him and his love for you. We lift up this church body, Lord, our missionaries, and all that need you on it, Lord. We thank you for your blessing each day. We ask that you bless these tithes and these offerings, and they be used for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, praise team. We want to release our children for Children's Church at this time. That's Judah going across there. And earlier, Judah came into the fellowship hall before we had our life groups. And I said, Judah, would you like to go into the kitchen and get a pastry, like an apple fritter or a... And he looks at me over his glasses and he said, Pastor, who in the world wouldn't want to do that? That was his response. I thought that was classic, you know. So today we're going to look at God's plan for us as we're moving into the celebration of our 100th anniversary. And next week we will be having with us. The mayor will be leading in a reading, a proclamation from the city. Our sheriff, Sheriff John's going to be with us also, and Budacek. And we're going to have him praying. He's a very godly man, loves the Lord, and as well as some others. And so I want to encourage you to make plans to be a part of that with us as we celebrate together God using us, this fellowship, this church, this body, for 100 years in this location. Amen? Amen. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 29. And we're going to look at a couple of verses there. I'm going to run you through a salad, a buffet of verses, and we'll look at those. I want to thank you again for sticking with me last week with all the information. I know I hit you with a fire hose, and we were going an hour and change strong, you know, with a lot of different things. And I've had several people say, Pastor, I was trying to keep up, but, you know, I got lost in the weeds, the technological weeds there some. So possibly in the future we'll break things down a little bit better. So here we see God's plan for us. Jeremiah 29, verses 11, 12. Very popular. This is refrigerator magnet verses. And a lot of people are familiar with these. And so let's look at them together. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. So here we see some interesting things about the Lord and his knowledge of everything. As you know, I mean, for several years now, last probably 3 or 4 years, I've been just trying to get my mind around what does God know, and how does he know it, and how does he encounter it, how is he interacting with it, all of this knowledge, every iota of knowledge of the universe. And a lot of times we limit God by thinking of him like us, like he's an extension of us, like George Burns in the movie, Oh God, you know, like he's a doddering little old man full of just forgiveness and maybe a little forgetfulness in that. And he does say he'll forget. He doesn't have any Alzheimer's, but God says, I will forget. He said, I will forget your sins when you confess them. Thank God for that forgiveness and forgetfulness. Amen. So he said, I will forget your sins. And we really, really want him to. And so we begin in this by looking at God's plans are already in his heart in the first part of verse 11. For I know the plans that I have for you. God, it's interesting when God talks like this through scripture, you know, and I see him like when he interacts about idols and false gods, and he'll say, you know, this is an idol, but I am the true God. You know, this is a false God, but I am God Almighty. And there's times that he gets a little bit sarcastic with us. He said, you people, you go out, you cut a tree down, you cut a stump out of it, you carve it into an idol, and then you take the limbs and you burn them for food and warmth, and you take some of it and you build a house, and then you build an idol and you worship it. Is that not the same tree that you burned for warmth and for food? You know, and he's getting just a little sarcastic, like, how can you be worshiping the stump of the tree when you don't worship the limbs, you know, and you use the rest of it in a utilitarian way? And so God says that he has plans. He has plans already in his heart. He's intentional toward us. And this should be intuitive. I mean, we should just say, yeah, I know that. I know God has plans, and I know that he's got things in his mind. He's willfully decided things, and he's directing things, and he's in control of things. And so we see in this passage that he starts off saying that, I know the plans that I have for you. And he declares it, declares the Lord. And then we see some of the aspects of those plans. He says, plans for welfare. God's plans are, in one sense, they're forever signed, sealed, and delivered. They're firm. They're not going to vacillate. And we see this in Psalm 33:11. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart from generation to generation. In other words, he's not caught off guard with some new information. He's not winging it. He's not adjusting it. He's got a firm stand, a counsel that stands, and it stands for generations, his plans. And we talk about that when we think about his will, his counsel, his plans in the Lord's prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, it's manifest on the throne of God in his mind this morning. He's sitting there right now this morning, and he's got his plans. He's got his will. He's got his decisions. And by the way, God doesn't have preferences. God only has convictions. And so we look at this and we say, his plans are forever. They never change. It's interesting that we're in Ezekiel 29. In the very next chapter, chapter 30, we see a couple of verses there, 9 and 10. But they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. In other words, he's saying, I've got this in my will. I've got this in my plans. This is in my intention. I'm going to raise him up. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it in the future. I'm going to elevate him. I'm going to promote him. And I'm going to raise up David. And then, and fear not, O Jacob, my servant, declares the Lord. And do not be dismayed, O Israel. For behold, I will save you from afar and your offspring from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return and shall be quiet and at ease, and no one shall make him afraid. And so here we see not only that I will raise up this king, I will raise up David, and he raises up things, but we also see that he saves us. He delivers us. I will save you. I will intervene for you. And he gives us these promises of this aspect of his firm decisions, his decisions in the past that govern and control the future. Then we see that God's plans precede our conception and our birth. We see this aspect of it too. I know the plans that I have for you, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. So God's plans precede our conception and our birth. And we see this many times in Scripture, a couple of examples. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. So before we were even conceived in our mother's womb. Now, you may have read some of the analogies. Some of you may say, I never win at anything. I'm not athletic. I've never won a race. But every one of you sitting here won the greatest marathon in your life. When the sperm left heading to the egg, there were millions of them. Millions of them. And the one that got there and conceived and fertilized your mother's egg is you. So you beat millions of sperm. You beat millions of people to be here today. And God says, before that happened, I knew it was going to be you. I knew that it was going to be your DNA. I knew that it was going to be your personality. I knew that it was going to be you. And so when we think about God's predetermined will in that, and his prior knowledge of that, it should make you say, I'm important because God chose me to be me, and he chose me in this great human race. And so we see that with Jeremiah. Then Psalm 139, beginning in verse 13, for thou didst form my inward parts. Thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from thee, and when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. This is in our mother. The depths there is reins, talking about kidneys, heart. Wrought in the depths of the earth, thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written, thy days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are thy thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I could count them, they would outnumber the sand. And when I wake, I'm still with thee. Here we see God 3,500 years ago describing our aspects of our life, that they're written in a book, that they're recorded, that they're a concrete situation. And we know that from our DNA chain, that everything you are right now, if you have a lot of hair or no hair, you know, if you're bald-headed, that's in the DNA chain. If you're thin, if you're fat, if you're muscular, if you're tall, if you're short, all of those things were written in God's book. They were recorded, every aspect of that about you. And we even get, you know, unfortunately, illnesses from our parents and other things, weaknesses as well as strengths. And all of that was recorded. And God says, I've recorded that before you were even formed in your mother's womb. And so he said, I saw you when you were being woven together for 9 months, woven like a basket. And it's interesting. I mean, we have our characteristics. We have our whole life. My mother used to say that when I was in utero, I was kicking, running, jumping, fighting. I was doing something because it was really busy in there. And then when I was born as a little boy, they said they couldn't hold me because I'd crawl right up their torso, get on their shoulder, try to fall off their back. They were constantly trying. It's like holding on to a monkey. And those genetics are in us in the womb. We've got our personality there. You're either introverted, extroverted, whatever, you know, passive aggressive, whatever you are, those things are there. And God says, in the weaving, I've woven those things into you. And so God's plans precede our conception and our birth. God plans for everyone to repent. This is a plan of God. In 2 Peter 3:9, we see an interesting passage that describes the will of God. And he says, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slackness. But he goes on and said, but is patient towards you, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so we see that God in his general heart, his general grace, has a heart's desire for all of humanity to repent. But then we recognize and know that that's not going to happen. And God knows it's not going to happen. And that's why the Lord Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go therein. Narrow is the way that leads to life eternal, and few there be that find it. And so we see that God's will, though, his heart, when I tell people Jesus loves you, I tell them everywhere all the time. Some of them seem to be not very good people. I tell them Jesus loves them. Some of them seem to be sweet, almost angelic people. I tell them Jesus loves them. And I tell them, Jesus died for you, and I mean it. He means it. Now, does it mean they're all going to accept? No. When I'm talking to these vendors, whether it's credit card people or bill people on the phone, you know I witness, and I want you to, share your practice with them. If they get offended, so what? You'll never meet them or see them again anyway. You know, practice on them. Practice your testimony for when you witness to your family and your neighbors and friends. But occasionally they'll say this. Now, I've had the Visa people. I've led a bunch of them to Christ, calling Visa. But then the last one I talked to, she said, I'm sorry, Mr. Orman, but we're not allowed to talk about that at work. Well, what about the other 12 that talked about it? They used to say that when they manned the booths at the Turn Plaza. And I'd say, well, the last one I talked to here gave their life to Christ, you know. But we see that Jesus, that God says that he loves them all. He's not willing that any should perish, and he has plans for everyone to repent. Secondly, in our passage, we see that God plans for our welfare. In verse 11 again, plans for your welfare, for our benefit. God has plans to bless us. God has plans to provide for us. God has plans to look out for us. And he loves us, and we need to recognize that. We need to acknowledge that. And I share a lot of these illustrations with you, but God plans provision for me from my neighbors and the stuff they throw away. My son bought a fire pit, and he brought it over from Tampa and set it up on the patio. And when when it was our turn and all the families were here, and we cut up firewood and threw it in there and all that. Well, I wanted a fire pit, so I just prayed for one. And I'll be darned if one of the neighbors didn't throw one away. It's propane, and I don't have to throw wood in it. It's got a big, nice table on it and a little metal cover. And when you move the cover, there's the propane flame, and there's got like, it's like glass that makes it look like the whole thing is burning, and we can eat around it. And all I have to do to turn it on is turn the knob. And I said, thank you, Jesus, for my fire pit. But, you know, God will provide for us. You know, he will take care of us. He'll give us things and put these things in our life for our welfare. And then it can be things we need. I've had some trouble again with my torn meniscus in my right knee. But my doctors have said to quit taking the diclofenac sodium twice a day, which originally was prescribed to me. They said, drop it. It's a blood thinner. It's probably hard on your kidneys long term. And so I dropped it, but then my knees started talking to me, started screaming at me. So I woke up one morning about 3 a.m. I said, I need what? And then the Lord said, go ahead, take one. So I went, took one of the diclofenac sodium. I was right as rain in an hour. And God provides for us. He provides for our welfare. He takes care of us. And so we see this in God's plan. Romans 8:28, for all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Now, if you're backslidden, if you don't follow Christ, obey Christ, you worship, you come Easter and Christmas, and you forsake the assembling of the believers, and you don't read your Bible, you don't live by bread alone, you live by bread alone, not every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, and he tells you to do stuff and you ignore him. Well, you can't really claim that verse for yourself, that all things are going to work together good, because sometimes he's going to be chastising you if you're his. He's going to give you a spanking. He's going to correct you. But if you're loving him, and as much as you willfully know how, you're trying to obey him and live for him, he says, all things work together for the good. All things work together. And that means whatever's happening in your life, bad things, good things, blessings, seems like curses, all of those things are working together for the good in your life. And then we see also that my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And not only does he do needs, sometimes he does wants. And it's so exciting when he does that. One of my favorite streets in all of Martin County is the street off of Indian that's heading towards Sanspritt Park, covered with the trees. I love that. And you do too if you've ever been down it. I'll try to roll the windows down and look out. You see the light and ambient light coming through the leaves, and it's just gorgeous. And Kim and I loved it so much. And when we got a house for Dad to live with us over in Sewell's Point, it turns out that the road, River Road, that we turned on had that exact same little mini configuration like that. And every time we turned in, it was like we were turning into that. And Kim and I said, Jesus, we believe you did that for us, that you provided this for us. And he loves to do that. He loves to do those things in your life. He loves to say hello with different things in your life. Number three, God plans to protect us from calamity. Well, let me go back on the one thing. All your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. So he says, I am measuring what I'm doing for you and what I'm giving you by the glory in Christ Jesus. What kind of limit is that? To me, that seems limitless. According to, measured by, the glory of the Lord Jesus is how he takes care of us. Number three, God's plan to protect us from calamity. God protects us with a watchful eye. In Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. I want you to say it's a little Hebrew word, a little Hebrew statement. I want you to repeat after me, and I'm going to have you say, La Ha Roy, on the count of three. One, two, three. Say it again. That Hebrew term means, thou God seest me. La Ha Roy. Thou God seest me. God has his eye upon us. You're sitting in church and you say, I know he sees me now. I'm in church. Well, no, he saw you coming over here arguing with your wife. He saw that. He saw you run that stop sign. And by the way, if you do this one sometimes, so will the Stewart police. They'll see you also. But La Ha Roy, thou God seest me. He's looking at us. He's watching us. In my devotions yesterday from Ezekiel, it was that strange creatures around the throne that have these, it sounds like a gyroscope, that are whirling, and they've got these creatures that look like human bodies with a lion's head and a bull's head and an eagle's head. But then it says these hoops, these glowing hoops that look like fire and lightning, are covered with eyes. There's eyes all around them, 360 degrees. Thou God seest me. He sees us. You and I are surrounded about by a cloud of witnesses. So there is nothing private on earth. Now, you may think you've snuck away and done a few things, but you really didn't. God saw it all, and the cloud of witnesses saw it all. And so we see that he protects us with a watchful eye. He's looking over us. Next, we see that God protects us from people. In Hebrews 13, verse 6, so that we confidently say, "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid, for what shall man do to me?" Years ago, when I was president of the State Pastors Conference, I had Jerry Falwell as one of my speakers for our pastors in the state. And I'll never forget, at the time, Liberty University was several hundred million dollars in debt. And I'll never forget him getting up and him saying, at that time, there was a great freighter tycoon, a Greek tycoon that owned all these freighters and ships, ocean ships, and he went bankrupt and he jumped off of one of his ships and committed suicide. He was an older man in his late 70s. And I'll never forget Dr. Falwell saying, "I know why he did it." He said, "I would never do that, but I know why he did it." But then he said this, "I got to a point on the debt that I just started talking to the Lord. And I said, I'm not going to fear the creditors. I'm not going to fear any man. What can they do? Eat me? I mean, you know," he said, "you know, devour me? No," he said, "I'm just going to trust in the Lord." And shortly thereafter, an insurance tycoon paid off all their debt. Several hundred million dollars. And so this idea of fearing people, the Bible says the fear of man is a snare. We're not to be afraid of people. In fact, Jesus said over and over again, we're only to fear God. We're only to fear and respect Him. And we see that He's not only got a watchful eye on us, protecting us, but He protects us from people. And then God protects us from Satan himself. And we see that in Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. "For the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one." Now, I want y'all to pray, as we've been encouraging to pray for Shay and Josh and our grandkids. As you know, they're on mission. And Gabe, the oldest of the two boys, was talking to Kim and I, and he said, "Bebop, Prammy, pray for me. I'm not sleeping well." "Well, Gabe, what's wrong? What are you afraid of? What are you thinking about?" And he said, "I'm thinking of robbers. I think robbers are going to break in and you know, steal from us." And I said, "Well, what's making you think that?" "Well," he said, "I left my bicycle in the front yard, and one of them stole it." For a little boy, I mean, that's a telltale sign. Well, probably for any of us. But I said, "Well, why did you leave it in the front yard? Put it in the garage or whatever, you know, put a chain on it, you know." But we prayed for him and said, "Gabe, God is with you. God is surrounding you. And we don't need to be afraid. We need to trust God to protect us." And boy, can He. And boy, will He. And He says, "I will even protect you from the evil one." Then we see that God protects us with His presence. In Isaiah 41, verse 10, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So God says, I'm with you. I'm taking care of you. I'm looking out for you. I'm watching you. I'm protecting you from people. I'm protecting you from Satan and demons. And you're going to have my presence. You're going to have me there, me personally. Number four, God plans to give us a future. He says, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future. God plans to provide for all of us. That's Matthew 6, 31 through 33. And in Scripture, the Lord Jesus said this, "Do not be anxious, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." You need all these things. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you." Through the years, the 33 years I've been pastor here, when people have come in for counseling, there's been many times, some of them, you know, marital problems or problems with their children or work or different things, health. One of the things I always lead off talking to them about is put Jesus first. Worship him first. If you're having problems with your children, don't let them see an inconsistent Christian life. Make church a priority. Make worship a priority. Make serving Jesus a priority in your life. I mean, there's one particular guy, I've talked to him. I said, "Your boys want to see a godly man. They want to see a man that's sold out to God. They want to be able to say, I don't know about anybody else, but my dad is a true Christian. My dad is truly living for Jesus." Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will take care of everything else. He says, "I'll add it to you." You'll accumulate it. And we see how he provides for us. Then God plans to delight and sing over us. I love this verse. It's such an unusual verse. Zephaniah. How many of you have devotions regularly out of Zephaniah? Raise your hands. I don't see any hands. So Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. "The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior," or some translations say a mighty savior. "He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love." And some translations say, "And then he will rejoice over you with shouts of joy." Some of them say he will sing over you. He will sing over you with shouts of joy. Boy, I want to try to live as consistently as I can in Christ. We all do. We fail. We're not perfect. We're sinners saved by grace, fighting to be true blue to him. But I would really like to get to a point where he looks down, and not just me, but all of us, and he says, "I want to sing over them." God Almighty, creator of the universe, unlimited knowledge, presence, power, strength, to sing over us with shouts of joy, to bring joy to the heart of God. I think that could be one of the greatest things that you do in your life. I mean, what a great thing to put on your tombstone, on your gravestone. God sang over him and he brought joy to the heart of God. She brought joy to God's heart. And so we see this in our future. And then God plans to give us hope. Hope. And so in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 through 18, "Do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that your eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling," the hope of his calling, "and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We see that God plans to give us hope. And we see also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 8 through 10, there's a hope of salvation. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. The hope of being saved, the hope of being redeemed, the hope of going to heaven. And then he says, it's a hope that produces love in our life. There's a love there. Chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. We give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. I love it when I'm walking in Christ and he's given me a fresh filling of his spirit, and I feel a love for other believers. I feel that emotional kinship, that bond, that attraction in Christ, where we love each other. I mean, I see that here in church life. I see some of you each week when you see each other. It's a joy to see each other. You fellowship. You link together emotionally. I'm so glad you're here. And people are hungry for that. They're looking for that. Our society is so lonely. We've never been connected with communication like we are now, but we've never been lonelier. And he says, this is a hope that produces love in our life. And then we see also a hope for a glorious inheritance. A glorious inheritance. And again, that's the Ephesians passage, that God wants to give us that inheritance. And then God plans to listen to us. I mean, we think about if an important person's going to listen to us, like, next week, we're going to have the mayor here. Maybe for some of you, the mayor is important. You know, a mayor. And the chief, our sheriff is going to be here. And we see the leading executive of the Florida Baptist Convention is going to be here. And you might get an invitation to Mar-a-Lago and actually go meet President Trump. But we have an open invitation from the creator of the universe. And he wants to talk to us. He wants to interact with us. He wants to sing over us. And so I want to encourage you from this passage in your relationship with Christ to stoke the fires of it, to work harder on your relationship to Jesus, your closeness to Christ, your love for him, and God the Father, and allow these things that he provides in our life to push you to him, to get you closer to him. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today, and I thank you so much for our dear people. I thank you for those here. I thank you for those watching, listening. And I pray, dear God, that you would just illuminate our hearts and minds to see you and know you and understand you. And Lord, I pray that you would set in every one of our wills the passion to please you and draw close to you. Lord, I pray for some that are watching or listening that don't know you yet. I ask you, Almighty God, to move on their heart, convict their heart, draw them, and grant them eternal life. And I'd like to ask you right now, if you're not sure of that relationship, or you know you don't have it yet, You can have it right now. And just ask God, God, you see me, you hear me, you know me. Please save me. Please cleanse me. Please forgive me. Take control of my life. Thank you for allowing your son, Jesus, to die as my substitute, to pay for my sins. Lord, I love you. Fill me with your spirit and live through me. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to extend our invitation now and want you to do business with God this morning and respond to however he speaks to your heart. So let's stand together and you come as God speaks to you. So David Blackwell, he's chairman of our deacons, and he came forward with a wonderful suggestion, an encouragement, an exhortation. So he's going to share that with you and dismiss us in prayer. And all of you historical parade people, see Kim down front. Kim, or in the lobby? Where is she? Down front. Okay, see her down front. And she has a quick orientation for you. And then we've got a prayer time, an anointing time coming up too for a family. Okay, go ahead, David.
I'll be quick because we want to beat the Presbyterians to Denny's, I know. I was out in the lobby, and there's a sign out front that says that we're celebrating 100 years, First Baptist Church in this location, next Sunday. And it just overwhelmed me. I mean, is anybody here 100 years old? This building's been here 100 years old, and I thought it would be a good idea if everybody could invite one person next week to come to church. I mean, if nothing else, they must be interested in, like, this building's been here for 100 years, and these people have been meeting there. There's got to be something to it. And I was just thinking that that would be a way of getting someone to come to church. And all you got to lose is somebody saying no thanks. You know, at the very least, they'll think that you're thinking about them and trying to help them and concerned about their well-being. So I would ask you all this week to bring somebody to church next week so we can celebrate our 100th anniversary together.
Let me punch in before he prays. I want to remind our men about our prayer breakfast tomorrow morning at Berry Fresh at 8, and then the fundraiser at Culver's. Also, boys, come on down. Here come our baptismal candidates. Woo-hoo. Dominic, are you a good big brother? Do you protect him, or does he protect you? You protect him. Okay, good. So they're going to come by and pray for you boys and love on y'all. Is that okay? Okay. They said it's all right. Okay, David.
Gracious Heavenly Father, please bless this time, bless this week, bless everything that we try and do, Father, in your name. Thank you for these two young boys getting baptized. Thank you for the miracles that we see every day and the ones that we don't, Father. Please continue to watch over us and guide us in truth in all that we do. Father, we love you and praise you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
My name is Karen Grantham, and I have the honor to be the director of First Baptist Christian Preschool Program. We have been in existence for over 40 years. First Baptist Christian Preschool proudly serves children from infants to 4 years of age. The core values of the preschool are rooted in Jesus Christ and are implemented in every activity. The preschool uses the nursery to pre-kindergarten curriculums published by Abeka Book and We Learn. These curriculums cover a variety of subjects and encourage the joy of learning and exploration. We offer the free voluntary pre-kindergarten program for the four-year-olds. Preschool hours are Monday through Friday, 6:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can reach me at 772-287-7793. For additional information, visit our website at www.fbcs-stewart.org. and select the preschool tab. It has been a privilege to serve God here at First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 22 years, and I am excited to see God at work in our church and school.
Hi, my name is Allie Blackwell, and I'm the principal of First Baptist Christian School, home of the Warriors. Our school is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stewart and was established in 1974. We have been fully accredited through ACSI Association of Christian School International since 1999. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. We offer exceptional student education that are part-time and full-time services through our Strive program, Talented and Gifted program, Honors and AP Middle School program, and High School Dual Enrollment. Our Strive program serves grades 2 through 5 to include specialized teaching, teaching students how to reach their full potential. Strive offers pull-out and exclusive programs during normal school hours. Our TAG program is available to nurture academic excellence of the gifted students and to increase student achievement. It is recognized that gifted students have unique abilities, values, needs, and talents. The program is designed to aid in the optimum development of students' emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual capabilities. In middle school, we offer honors and advanced placement in 6th through 8th grade math and English language arts. Our high school offers a variety of online courses and dual enrollment with Indian River State College. There's a combination of classroom and computer direct study in most subjects. In addition to academics, we offer competitive sports through our athletic programs, and we participate with the Treasure Coast Athletic Conference. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ.
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.
There's a city, New Jerusalem.
Tribute Quartet from Nashville, Tennessee is going to be at Sunrise Tabernacle Church in Fort Pierce, 3280 South 25th Street on November 22nd. Doors open at 5, concert starts at 6. Tribute Quartet from Nashville, one of Southern Gospel Music's finest Southern Gospel quartets in the nation. Come out and be a part. Sunrise Tabernacle Church, an evening with Tribute Quartet, November 22nd, 6 p.m. Doors open at 5. Come out and be a part of what God's doing. We want to see you there. Telephone number 772-828-0316.
Hi, I'm Pastor Lawrence McKenzie. Invite you to listen to Spirit and Truth every Saturday at 12:30 right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Listen, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. I'm telling you, you won't be disappointed. God will meet you just where you are. God bless you.